Once there was a little girl who didn't like her family. She didn't like her little brother, who would jump up and down and say, "Looky how good I can blow on my trumpet, toot!" And she didn't like her father, who would lean around the corner and say, "What are you doing to your little brother?" And she didn't like her mother, who would come out of the kitchen saying, "Oh, I am so tired. Won't you help your poor old mother clean house?" Sometimes she didn't like herself. So she went away to find a witch who would boil them all into soup. And she found one.
The author of that fantasy was Vivian Scott, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host for the program is children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University, Jacqueline Jackson.
We started with the beginning of a picture book by Vivian Scott called The Potted Witch. I can't share the pictures with you, but here's the rest of the story. My kids know it by heart, and they recite it on car rides. After she finds this witch that she wants to boil them all into soup, "What can I do for you?" asked the witch politely. "Turn my family into soup," said the little girl. "Soup?" "Soup, elephants, box kites, I don't care which." "No preferences, huh?" asked the witch. "No preferences." The witch thought a while. "I have a very good idea," said the witch. "How about bears?" The little girl considered it. "No," she said, "I don't think I like that." "You don't like bears?" said the witch. "Well, then, how about, fish?" The little girl considered it. She looked worried. "No," she said, "I don't like that either." "No fish and no bears," said the witch grimly. "All right, how about owls?" The little girl considered that for about half a second. "No," she said, "I don't think they would like being owls. And what's more, I don't think I want you to turn them into anything." "Oh, you don't," said the witch. "Well, how would you like being turned into something? For instance, soup?" "Help, help," said the little girl, running around to the other side of the pot. "Aha," said the witch, making a wild leap over the pot. "Help, help," said the witch, who had miscalculated. Splash! "Oh, there you are," said the little girl. "I thought you had been turned into soup." You see, the witch is in the pot, as you can tell, and she's looking out. "Are you all right?" the little girl asked hastily, trying not to look cheerful. "Do me a favor, kid," said the witch soggily. "Go away, please." "The family is saved," thought the little girl. "I have done a great thing." She thought about this. It made her feel good. And then she turned around and rushed home to see them again. She scrambled up the steps and ran into the house, and her little brother said, "Looky how I can blow on my trumpet, toot!" But she felt different. So she patted him on the head and said in a rather faint voice, "Yes, that was, well, that was good." He was very surprised. And when her father leaned around the corner and said in an astonished tone of voice, "Why are you being nice to your little brother?" she said, "No reason." And when her mother came slowly out of the kitchen saying, "Oh, I am so tired. Won't you help your poor old mother with the dishes?" the little girl laughed and said, "Mother, I love you." Today I want to talk about my favorite kind of stories. There are here and now stories that could be real, like Homer Price. And then there are stories old now, but that were here and now when they were written, like Tom Sawyer. And then there are stories about former times, such as Laura Ingalls Wilder writing about her childhood in the Little House series, or Rosemary Sutcliffe writing about when the Romans were in Britain 2,000 years ago. The Eagle of the Ninth is one of those sorts of books. I like all these kinds of stories, and there are other kinds that I haven't mentioned. But my favorite kind of writing is called fantasy. And fantasy stories are stories that couldn't be real, in the sense that certain things happen in them or are a part of them that can't be real in this world. that potted witch who could turn the family into owls or fish or bears or soup if she got the chance, that's a fantasy. At my university, I teach a class in fantasy because I love these books so much that I want others to read them who might have missed them. One thing we do in the class, besides read the books and write about them, is that everybody takes a turn doing a fantastic thing. Now, we can't sprout wings and fly or turn ourselves into bears or fish or owls, except in our imaginations. But we can do some very nice and fun things that come close to being truly fantastic. And recently, two young men, for their fantastic thing, wrote a song, and they sang it for us. It's called Going Down to Narnia, and it includes mention of a lot of the fantasy books that we read. I want you to hear it. It's by Ken Ruby and Mike Steinhauer.
Peter Rabbit with a beautiful white cat. From a distant asteroid came the little prince. Said we all must hurry now, it's a matter of consequence. Going down to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Everyone will be there, at least that's what I'm told. So come along to Narnia, follow the yellow brick road. Takes you to the country and through an old wood road. Just follow the yellow brick road. Everyone will be there, at least that's what I'm told. So come along to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Takes you to the country and through an old wood road. There goes Jackie Jackson, arm in arm with Ged. There's the Princess and Curdy, just following the silver thread. And if you're very quiet, you can look down and see a glimpse of the borrower's ordinarity. Going down to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Everyone will be there, at least that's what I'm told. So come along to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Take you to the country and through an old wood road.
There's Hazel Rod and Bigwig bringing fiber in his trap.
Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Everyone will be there, at least that's what I'm told. So come along to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Takes you to the country and through an old wood road.
How many characters or books of fantasy could you identify from that song? Let's go through them. There's Wilbur and Charlotte and Templeton the Rat. That's from Charlotte's Web, of course, by E.B. White, the animals in the farmyard. And Charlotte weaves in her web radiant and so forth about Wilbur the pig. Then there's Peter Rabbit. You know Peter Rabbit by Beatrix Potter. And From a Distant Asteroid, There Came a Little Prince. That's from The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Ratty, Mole, and Mr. Toad Out in a Motor Car, that's from The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham. And it's where the animals live on the riverbank there in England and have all sorts of adventures, both with other animals and with human beings. And Glorfindel from Rivendell, the elven lord of old, that is from The Lord of the Rings by Tolkien, and you maybe have read The Hobbit or else The Lord of the Rings itself. When we get to Jackie Jackson, that's me because I'm teaching the class, and also I've written a fantasy called The Endless Pavement, which is a world of the future where nobody has any legs and everyone is in their own little rollabout, and the automobiles rule the world, and the automobiles themselves are ruled by the great computer mobile. And I am arm in arm with Ged in the song. Ged is the hero of a book called A Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula Le Guin. Princess and Curdie, there are two books. One is called The Princess and the Goblin, and one is called The Princess and Curdie, and they are both by George MacDonald. And these are very old books. They take place in a strange country of this world with goblins and other horrid creatures that they went out over. And if you're very quiet, you can look down and see a glimpse of the Borrowers, Pod and Arity, or Arietti. That's from The Borrowers by Mary Norton, where the characters are little people only 6 inches high. Hazel Ra and Bigwig and Fiver, those are all from Watership Down, which is a story about rabbits by Richard Adams, and how they leave their warren and go to a new warren on a trip over the English countryside and meet with many adventures and perils. Alice and the Griffin joined the lobsters in a dance. That's Alice in Wonderland, of course, or Alice Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll. Mr. Square, he met a sphere, but Flatland didn't care. Flatland is by Edwin Abbott, and that's a land of two dimensions where everything is a square or a triangle or some geometric figure. So you can see when the sphere came in, he was three-dimensional. And that's what the story is about, what happens when a three-dimensional creature comes into a two-dimensional world. Then we get to Pooh, who was hanging high, and you know Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne, the flat cloud, a black cloud in the air. So those are the characters in the books that are mentioned in the song, and when we get to the chorus, going down to Narnia, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and that's the first book of seven which make up the Chronicles of Narnia. And Narnia is a country that you get to by going through a wardrobe. At least that's one way of getting into Narnia. Last year, a lot of schools were reading the Narnia Chronicles. I know for sure that Adams School and Pawnee Elementary were well saturated with this series, and they are splendid books. Then the second line is Follow the Yellow Brick Road. And you've all seen The Wizard of Oz on TV, but you ought to read the book too, because the book is not the same as the movie. And in the book, Alice and the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Woodman follow the yellow brick road to the Emerald City and to the Wizard. Well, you'll realize from my very brief description of these books, and also from your own reading, that there are many sorts of fantasy. Most fairy tales and folk tales are fantasy, of course, with the fairy godmothers and 100 years sleep, and 3 wishes, and 7-league boots, and magic carpets and beanstalks that grow to a kingdom in the sky. The tall tales are fantasy, too, such as Paul Bunyan, who can grab a river by the tail and pull it out straight. These are old tales, and nobody knows who told these stories originally. The fantasies from the song have definite authors, and today, you've guessed it, I'd like you to be a definite author, to try your hand at writing a fantasy. Let me describe some of the kinds. There are time fantasies. You can go backwards in time, as Lucy Boston does in many of her Greenough books. Her character, Tolly, goes back 100 years or 200 years to play with and have adventures with the children that lived in that very same house that long ago. You can go back to any period in history, or before anybody was even keeping track of history. You can go back to caveman times. Or you can go forward in time. Usually these are called science fiction, and My Endless Pavement goes forward in time to that world of wheels and no legs. You can go to another world, the Mushroom Planet stories by Cameron. The children take off in a spaceship and end up at the Mushroom Planet. Or you can have creatures coming from another world to this world, as in John Christopher's book, The City of Gold and Lead, when the tripods come and set up their bubble cities here on Earth and take over everything. You can go to other worlds that aren't necessarily long ago or in the future, that are just other. That's Narnia, a different place where strange things can happen. Or Oz, where Dorothy got blown in a cyclone and strange things happen on Oz. Or to Peter Pan's Never Never Land, where the children always stay the same and never grow up. You can make a place on this earth. After all, Gulliver went to an island somewhere, Lilliput, and found all those little people. Tolkien called his world Middle Earth, and in many ways it's very much like our own. But men lived with dwarves and elves and hobbits and the evil orcs and the wargs. In the case of Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and a good number of the fantasies, you have fights going on between good and evil. That's a common theme of fantasy. The good almost always wins out. My favorite fantasy right now, next to The Wind in the Willows, is A Wizard of Earthsea that we mentioned in the song, and I heartily recommend it to you. Ursula Le Guin creates a world in many ways like Earth, but with wizards who can work limited sort of magic, and you follow the kind of magic that these wizards are doing and why. There are dream fantasies. Alice in Wonderland falls asleep, after all, when she gets into Wonderland and through the looking glass. There's a marvelous book called Marianne Dreams by Catherine Storr, where she has a pencil and draws pictures, and then when she falls asleep, she finds herself in the world that she drew the picture of. And when she wakes up, she realizes she can change that world by adding things or erasing things out of her picture. You can write a story with straight magic. After all, E. Nesbitt does it. Her children discover a Samoyed who can give them a wish, or a magic carpet that can take them anywhere. Or you can have the world as it is now, but with one thing strange in it. The Borrowers is a good example. Everything is exactly the way it is in this world, except that there are borrowers who live under the floor or behind the clock, and they are little people only 6 inches high. In Dr. Doolittle, everything is the same as it is here, except Dr. Doolittle can talk animal language. You see, there are rules to fantasy, and I should mention these rules right here. Once you set up what's strange, you have to stick to it. Take the Borrowers. They can't fly. They can't get 3 wishes. They're just like you and me, except that they're 6 inches high. And if the cat catches them, why, they're goners. They can't shrink to 1 inch high and crawl out of that grating to get away, or they can't turn invisible or just walk away. They are governed by the very same rules that govern you and me, All the interest in the fantasy comes from what it is like to live in a world when you are 6 inches high and the other human beings are 5 feet or more. So there are the sorts of rules that you need with fantasy. Now, fantasies can be short. The Potted Witch is a very short story. They can be very long, as Tolkien's book, which goes on for thousands of pages. But here's a suggestion on how to go about writing one. Think up something interesting that couldn't happen or hasn't happened yet, and set up a situation. Then tell what happened and how it all ended. For instance, what if your character suddenly found that he or she could read everybody's mind? He knew what everybody was thinking. There's an interesting situation. What would happen? And how would it all end? Or suppose your character could make herself or himself invisible and go places and not be seen. Then what? I read a pretty poor fantasy the other day about a boy that was born with a dog's head. It was a Cocker Spaniel, I believe. The idea was very interesting and intriguing, but I'm sure that you could think up better things to do with that situation than the author did. I read a pretty good fantasy about how on a certain day every child was born with a tail, and all children after that were born with tails. So you had the old tailless adults and the new children with tails. Of course, all the children's clothes had to be restyled to accommodate a tail, but that was only a minor problem compared to how people felt about having tails, or their children having tails. You can make your character as tiny as a germ, or so big that he can step across universes. Or you can write about strange, fantastic creatures or societies who aren't human beings at all, or even a human being like the Bowers. You could write about a germ, not just about somebody that's small as one. So there's some ideas to get you started. Your imagination can go as wide or as far or as deep as you want it. You can make things as you wish that they were, or how you think it might be interesting or fun to be, or as you hope they as you hope that they won't be, as in the case of My Endless Pavement. So pick out one strange thing, one fantastic thing, and deal with that in your story. Don't try to take on everything fantastic. And make your fantasy as believable as possible. Make it seem as real as it can be, as if you really believe it. I'd like to say one final thing about real. I said at the start that fantasies are stories that can't be real. But that doesn't mean that fantasies can't be true. For instance, back to that dog's head. No child could be born with a dog's head. That's unreal. But in that story, people were mean to the dog-headed boy. They kicked him around. And that's true. It's true to life in the sense that in our world, alas, we often do kick people around who are different from us in their looks or in their thoughts or in other ways. The greatest fantasies to me are the ones that, while being unreal, are the truest. They tell the deepest truth about the deepest things in this human life that we all share, about birth and death and good and evil, beauty, friendship, love, caring. It often takes the unreal to tell the truth about those things that deeply. That's why I think that people write fantasy. They can say things in a fantasy that they can't say in any other way. I don't expect you to write a great fantasy, but who knows, you might. I myself would like to write a great fantasy. I never have, but I'm still trying. So today, let's all go down to Narnia. Let's follow the yellow brick road.
There's Hazel Rod and Bigwig bringing Fiver in his trance, and Alice and the Griffin join the lobsters in a dance. And Mr. Square, he brought a sphere, but Flatland didn't care. While Pooh goes by hanging high, a black cloud in the air. Going down to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. Everyone will be there, at least that's what I'm told. So come along to Narnia, just follow the yellow brick road. takes you to the country and through an old wood road.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.